This week on RSPNB Update, it's all about monetization on the live stream. We give our summary, say what went wrong, what's right, and how it could have been done better. Also big news that the Java client is nearing death, and our thoughts on the extended double XP weekend. This is RSPNB Update, episode 750, recorded Thursday, November 7th, 2019. Action, action, action. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week is, you know, I am always amazed at the news that we can generate in the RuneScape community, Tanis. I'm always amazed at that, you know?
Amazed?
Yeah, because...
I'm never shocked at anything.
Well,
anymore.
No, I mean, the kind of news and the kind of... fire that comes with that news is something that you would expect out of if you were covering Parliament Hill at the White House, to be honest.
You know, our RuneScape news is very much like politics,
yeah.
Right? We're very,
yeah,
very polarized community, right? We're very much in our own bubbles, and we don't want to listen to what the higher-ups, what the elite are telling us.
Yeah, and you know, for what it's worth, I am still wanting to progress down my track of believing there is a silent majority out there that will rise up at some point and quell what's been happening. But nonetheless, I'm getting ahead of myself here. If you guys are joining us for the first time, welcome to RSBNB Update. We discuss the news each and every week. Tanis, you've been here for a long time. And I, Shane, 12088, in-game, if you want to talk to me. Yeah, I keep my friends chat on. If you want to talk to me, Shane, 12088, shoot me a PM and we can talk about the episode or anything you want. We talk about the RuneScape news every week and... oh boy, did it deliver this week. We're going to, of course, talk about what everyone's thinking about the monetization Q&A. But we also got patch notes. We ought to look at the new formula for Double XP Weekend, a major announcement today regarding the Java client, and, of course, what's coming in the month ahead for November, amongst other things. So we're going to talk about all of that, and hopefully we can bridge the gap in terms of what all the different communities are saying, what Jagex is saying, what's actually happening, and where we're all at in that. And, you know, monetization Q&A. This is something people have been wanting for a long time, since before RuneFest. It was initially going to take on the role of a news post, then a video, and then they said, oh, let's just do a live stream instead.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
You know,
that didn't work out well.
You know, I'm a huge fan of live streams. I think they are great for getting out in front of the community. But when you're talking about something as crucial to the game's revenue stream as monetization, and given the fact there is a negative stigma around Treasure Hunter and the amount of monetization in RuneScape currently, the live stream needs to be produced to a T, and it needs to go off without a hitch.
And, yeah, it was a blown opportunity.
And quite frankly, this week, you know, we love the community management team. Mod Porky behind the scenes curated the live stream. Mod JD was on the couch with Mod Warden and Mod Mick hosting the live stream. And, you know, we ought to give credit to them for doing this, because there's lots of companies out there that wouldn't talk about this and they would just let the thing fester, right? But at the same time, we need to accept that the way the live stream was structured, the way it was perceived by the community, didn't solve anything and isn't going to solve anything.
Oh, it made it worse. It made it worse because everyone probably tuned out before they ever got to the stuff that was important.
Yeah, and I was running my timer on this. I thought we were going to get some traction around the 15-minute in mark when things started to be talked about. But we didn't really get to the meat of the matter in terms of what people were most interested in regarding Treasure Hunter and the future of it until about 36 minutes in. And in that case, you've lost the audience and they have gone off with their own preconceived notions at that point.
Yep.
And because of that, you know, I think there should have been a series of, let's just call them big boom moments in the first 15 minutes or so that could have nailed the points better. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I think we need to summarize what went on in this live stream, the key bullet points. It was an hour and a half long live stream, one of the longer ones. And, you know, the topics ranged from everything microtransactions to a couple of oddball things here and there about 120 Herblore and farming. So starting off, they mentioned a few months back there was that quote-unquote perfect storm. Lots of negativity, the lack of game content over the summer, Treasure Hunter promotions that didn't hit the mark that arrived the same week of the farming player on farm nerf, the report from Parliament, the Kotaku article, and whatnot going forward. And Mod Warden announced that he arrived on the scene 3 days after that Kotaku article happened, and he had to figure out what the heck was going on and figure out a response the way they were going to go about this. And, you know, one of the interesting things that I took away from this is that Jagex was the only company to respond to the UK Parliament on chance boxes. The Kotaku article, and as I mentioned this, and this is why we didn't talk about it on the show, we talk about Kotaku as being one of the sources for Linkbait. And, you know, they did say in this that there was, in fact, exaggeration done on the part of Kotaku, which I personally believe when you watch the sewer of website companies in the Kotaku stream, like Gizmodo and the like. So that didn't surprise me. And, you know, I think it the article accomplished its purpose in RuneScape circles of acting as clickbait, regardless of whether or not it was true, which is unfortunate for Jagex, but that's just the way the internet works, and they didn't or weren't able to respond to it in time. Ultimately, summing up the Parliament set, they said they waited for a set of recommendations on changes that were recommended by the UK government if they need to implement anything. Then they went into a section on debunking myths, which one of these I want to touch on later in the summary on this in terms of what the future of microtransactions look like. It was confirmed that microtransactions is about 50-50 for RuneScape 3, which I confirmed in my article by looking at the finances last month. And then, you know, I think we can go into the what went wrong category here. This is where things got really cringy with Mod Mick, who is at the head of the live ops team. And yes, give him credit for going on that couch to do it, but I haven't met a single person, Reddit or otherwise, RuneScape wider community or otherwise, that feels that anything that Mod Mick had to say helped.
Absolutely not. And before you even get to Mod Mick, you had 36 minutes of pure defense.
Dancing around the subject.
Everything they said was, yeah, but they're worse. Yeah, but other people would do it too.
RuneScape is competitively priced.
That was so bad to do. I don't understand why you can't own the things that you're doing or have done. Be honest, because that kind of shit doesn't play well. Yeah, we know EA is evil. We got it. We expect you're better. But you know what I mean? Like that, I don't think flew well. And it set the whole tone against what their purpose was. Yeah.
The purpose of this live stream, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, should have been to chart the course forward for what's going to happen with Treasure Hunter and how the feeling of being ripped off is going to be mitigated. And, you know, that didn't happen. That didn't happen until about 45 minutes in with Mod Warden.
Yeah.
And that's not the way you want this to go down.
No, that wasn't what we wanted at all.
We had what we had was effectively a fireside Q&A with the community on microtransactions, when in reality, in my view, what we should have had is a microtransactions press conference where the top questions in general would have been outlined and addressed by the community. And then the way forward would have been charted. And yes, I mean, you look at these questions here, right? Is Jagex milking their players? Mod Mix says we're not in the business of doing that. It would bring about the end of the game quicker.
Dumb. Just, I'm sorry, Shane. That's dumb. It's dumb. What can we say about that? Like, there's no way to make that.
I like to give credit to people where it needs to be given. But you know that the largest consumer of these live streams is Reddit. You don't.
Well, but anybody, anybody.
But you don't say that because it's looking like you want to fail at that point.
Yeah, but whether you're someone that follows Reddit or you're just someone that was listening to the live stream, that was an absolutely terrible thing to say. Yeah. Someone that's not even into RuneScape news hears that and they're going, oh, the game's... Oh, it's dying.
Why am I going to sign up for Premier Club if I hear that?
It's dying. Yeah, and so that was bad.
Another one was just that. Hey, the truth of membership. The truth is that membership is not alone. Not enough to keep the game alive. Hello, yeah. It's been that way since 2012. That shouldn't be a question that needs to be answered.
Right.
And, you know, people need to accept that that's the state RuneScape 3 is in, and that's going to get to our big idea, two of our big ideas that we have, one that you have, one that I have, in terms of the way forward for this. Next up, could we have an opt-out option on Treasure Hunter? So the answer to this was that by enabling an opt-out option, you'd need to find another way of funding the game. How about a microtransaction or cosmetic-free world? Would be a drab world cosmetic-wise, Mod Mix said. And then Mod JD said, what about the problem of Shadow Drakes? And then he said, yeah, we shouldn't be doing things that spoil the enjoyment of the game.
And they picked that out as if that is the problem with microtransactions. That irritated me. Because out of all of the things... You picked that one. That's the one thing that you could really drill down in and talk about. See, that didn't go well either.
And you know what this is exemplifying so far with this is that ModMech is not in tune with the sentiments of the community. And we have talked about and time again before. If you want to make any kind of positive change today in this world, you need to be matching the sentiments of your community, of your base, and bring them along with you. That didn't happen.
Yeah, he acted like he'd never seen a post ever. like if you think the problem is Shadow Drakes, I don't know. I can't help with that. What can you say?
Yeah. Then this question, you know, once again, completely out of left field. What elements of the old school system would you consider implementing into RuneScape to lessen the load of microtransactions? And the answer given on this one was that old school is the nostalgia-driven version of the game that has the need to feel protected like a heritage building or museum piece. RuneScape 3 is more like a theme park where new and exciting experiments should be tried. And the data comes from partners that say a better effort needs to be made on the free model on this one. And, you know, the question that should have been answered or what should have been answered with this one is that, yeah, we appreciate that old school is the nostalgia-driven version of the game. People like it for its aesthetic of the olden days of our community, which so many of you have come to love. We love that too. And one of the things that we absolutely love seeing with that is how everybody interacts without the need of microtransactions. And what we want to do going forward in 2020 is find a way to lessen the load of microtransactions in RuneScape 3 by making them less intrusive, which is something that Mod Warden said later on in the live stream. And yet here was a question that Mod Mick answered. Was a perfectly good option to talk about. And lo and behold, it gets compared to a heritage building or museum piece.
Yeah, I mean,
like, can we not agree that the answer that I just gave is many times better than the answer that Mod Mick gave?
Yeah. Well, and check this out. I don't know. The last time I went to a heritage building, they weren't adding new wings to it like they do in old school. This is what really irritated me about his whole part of this was like, do you in any way play games? Because the way I would have answered that would have been like, well, old school, you know, it came at this time when, you know, people were really starting to find their love of retro gaming again. It kind of hits that nostalgia mark, and we want to keep that going. We don't want to take away from what has driven that game, but it was a particular place at a particular time, and it's serving a particular niche. So RS3 works differently than that because this is an evolving game. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, but I'm letting you know, I kind of get gaming. I'm not talking about heritage buildings that you're adding remodeled bathrooms to or whatever the hell else, because that's, you know, I don't get it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is emblematic of what most of the live stream suffered from. And, you know, we've said this so many times before. Mod Shawnee was around. We absolutely love what Mod Shawnee does. We love what Mod JD does. We love what Mod Porky does. We love what the CM team does. But what they need to do and the credit that they get for doing what they do is good. But what they need to do is they need to bridge this gap. And this would have been a better opportunity to iterate on that and evolve based on this, because I don't know. I don't know how old school players are. I don't know if they want to hear about their thing being called a heritage building or not. I don't know how they feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to them, to your hardcore old school people, they probably feel like, no, we play the real RuneScape. You guys left us. We're the ones playing RuneScape. I don't know what you guys are playing.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, if I were to put myself in their mindset, right?
So at about the 38-minute mark, we get into the topic of moving forward. And this is where Mod Warden starts to shine again. He says that, you know, some ground rules and values need to be established for what Jagex is trying to do as a company, primarily, you know, being based around being a subscription-based service. And they need to ensure that this is delivered on and that everybody is getting a really good deal, which is something I think we can all agree with.
Yeah, I thought that was promising when you mentioned it, you know, earlier on.
Live ops should be about engagement, having reasons to play the game. One of these examples that should be dressed as Halloween. Mod Warden was bummed that there was no Halloween event this year. And then he took it into a talk on values, corporate values, which, you know, anytime there are corporate values involved, that's good because it signifies what the company stands for and this needs to be carried out. In particular, he says you need to make sure that microtransactions feel as though they're not bolted on top of the game. They should feel as though they're a part of the core game experience, and a bad microtransaction strategy often feels like it's layered on top. And he knows, you know, we've talked about his background before, about where he came from. And the games that he's worked on before had the strategy built into the core game experience. Transparency. He wants Jagex to be talking more about players of the design of content going forward. Drop rates when it comes to Treasure Hunter already done on a mobile, and there's no reason to do it anywhere else, or no reason to do it elsewhere.
I didn't like that at all. That was not good.
I mean, there's no reason to not do it elsewhere. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant.
I was like, wait a minute.
Sorry, I spoke wrong. Oh, okay. I wrote that down wrong and then notes. I forgot a not there because that was the general tone of that.
See, and I feel like when people hear that, they go, they might have tuned out because they're like, oh, so we get to hear our drop rate. So what?
Yeah. Like, but it gets better from that point on, but not immediately. Transparency. Right. Yes. We already did the transparency point. The loyalty and aura store. It's been an issue for a while. The goal is to make certain auras available by in-game methods. Some might fit well as premium auras sold as bonds, and if a fit can be found within a game to do in the in-game to do an activity or something, it's likely the better way of bringing that item into the game. So they're well aware of that. Rare item store needs to be cleaned up and showcased in a way that's a lot more interesting. And they want these systems to come together to clean them up, make them less confusing, less complex, and ultimately have, let's just call it what would be a microtransaction store that encompasses all three of these things. Solomon's General Store, the Rare Item Store, and the Loyalty Store as well. And, you know, he also, Mod Warden also talked about what he's been doing at the company to try and make things better. He wants to communicate more about the players, about what's in development. We know that. We've seen that. Making it less about dates and times of when things are going to arrive and more focus on roadmaps. And the first big moment that came of this live stream that would bring people together and effectively act as a force to bring the community along with them, as he said, yeah, we've done a rubbish job of conveying roadmaps across the company.
Yeah, and meeting deadlines.
And more communicating needs to be done with some when something changes with reasons given.
Mm-hmm. He was the highlight. I mean, honestly, I thought Mod Warden was the highlight because what he said was, I don't know, coherent.
Yeah.
Made sense.
Oddment Store is interesting because it was its own Treasure Hunter promo at the start. They're going to experiment with items in the Oddment Store that were normally reserved for Treasure Hunter. And it's a way of trying to do things differently. And in particular, making oddments easier to obtain, maybe something that could be done for bonds. And with this, potentially, the focus could be shifted away from Treasure Hunter promotions. Gee, where have we heard that before?
Yeah, we called that. Called it.
What about removing the RNG and luck chance from Treasure Hunter? Once again, Mod Warden shining with this. He thinks there's a core way of delivering this content without the randomness associated with it. The RNG
just
element.
Exactly what we've been talking about.
The RNG element needs to take on a different shape. Industry is evolving. And then this was interesting. Mod Mick and team have apparently been working on these potential changes before Mod Warden arrived, but Mod Warden said that he has the ability to set fires under everybody and accelerate certain ideas or hold ones back that don't work.
Well, good. But apparently we need that.
Yeah, and I mean, from this point on, you can see we're getting into the point where the meat of the matter was discussed. This was 45 minutes in.
Yeah, it was way, way too late, and I just feel like everyone was probably lost when they kept saying, yeah, but other companies.
Right.
Who stuck around for 45 minutes in to find out that, oh, wait, we're actually going to try to get the randomness out? Because, and see, and that's one thing that I keep trying to convey is people understand microtransactions are essentially a way of life. It's just part of the industry, but they don't want the randomness. That's where you get into the gambling. That's where you get into the stuff about the kids and this and that. People want to get the value that they're paying for. And they're actually going to be doing that, or at least we hope that they're going towards that direction. That's what they said.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a talk about there will be no best-in-slot gear ever on Treasure Hunter. The best is right now effectively number 5 with the Virtus set. There are no plans right now to do the Pernix or Torva sets on that regard. The cat promo from last week, really well. Did really well.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, based on engagement, if this is what we do in the future, players are 100% behind it. Yes, cosmetics on Treasure Hunter don't get as much engagement. And I don't know if they should have said this, but more players on Treasure Hunter are actually going after the progression method.
But, I mean, we know that, right? We know that. There's no... It's like RuneScape's dirty little secret, but everyone knows.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I
have
said,
a question
like, you're high up people, like, you know, you're 5'4s, it's assumed that some of that is bonus. Like, it's just, it's an assumption that everyone makes.
Why don't you put more cosmetic outfits on Solomon's store? We're not a fan of Solomon's store. It's clunky. It's not fit for purpose. It works on the web only. It needs a rework. It's on the roadmap, and it's a big job.
See, I didn't like that at all. I didn't like it at all because they focused on everything negative about it. Oh, we don't like it. Well, that's the one place where you have, you know, cosmetics and services and stuff like that. Like, this would have been answered much better when they talked about trying to bring everything into one currency,
right,
one shop.
And that's where they went next. That's how it should have been handled. It was about the question about the loyalty system. And yeah, the loyalty system needs to be fixed. Oddments might be a unified currency, or there might be some kind of currency exchange involving oddments or loyalty points and rune coins. And they said, yeah, this would be a big job. And, you know, we could do this in smaller steps. And the oddment store would be an example of this. Boom, once again. Point number two to run with that we talked about.
Again.
We're pretty good at this. Yeah. We're going to be getting a blog next week on Premier Pass, which is the predecessor to Rune Pass. And Rune Pass was done in July of 2018. They wanted to achieve something. Everybody internally is aware that it didn't work as planned. Well, gee, we knew that right off the bat. More planning could have went into it. The intent wasn't communicated well, and the value was too low for players.
And the one thing that I thought they really flubbed on this one was they were asked straight up, do you think it was a mistake that you didn't pause Treasure Hunter while you were running this experiment? And they're like, no, it was fine.
And they said we couldn't do it because we can't turn off half of our revenue stream.
Well, half of your revenue stream for a week, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, no, that was a bad answer, too.
Yeah, and this comes back to what we said last week about inertia, right? You can't run a new monetization scheme without knowing it'll work first. Hence, can't be turned off.
Right, that's understandable, but they didn't make that in any way clear. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to figure out a solution to that while they're doing experiments in the future, because as long as they're running Treasure Hunter promos while you're trying to run these experiments, it's not going to be received well. It's going to look like a money grab.
Yeah. They said they're working on a battle pass kind of system and would be part of the existing game. We'll see it at the end of the month.
The good thing about that was they said it would be incorporated into the Premier, and that's something that you have brought up.
Yes, that the Premier members should have got it for free, and Premier members will get it for free.
Yep.
Let's see, what was next? New systems being trialed for Treasure Hunter to decrease the reliance on loot crate mechanics. The things that are planned were something on Treasure Hunter is run differently at the beginning. So, I mean, they definitely do want to move away from the RNG aspect of it. Another great question. How do you feel about awarding tiny amounts of rune coins in-game? Really great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but we just said the place where you'd spend those is just total shit and we don't like it. So don't expect it to be around.
Solomon's store. Would it be possible to remove lamps from Treasure Hunter but keep stars? And they said this is tricky because some people value their time more than anything, which means people are buying their progression.
I didn't like that answer either. I thought that was really, really bad. Like, why aren't you still saving time with bonus?
Yeah.
Like, isn't it appropriate to say, yes, you could bonus half of an entire 200 mil? Okay. We could draw a line there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they said this is, and once again, they lead with the icky part.
Yes.
But the part that is good, apart this being maybe something they could do with the Oddment store, where stars would be balanced higher than lamps, so it costs more to get the lamps, but there's more stars available, is the preferred way to go through the Oddment store.
Yeah. And that was something that when they got around to it, I'm like, yeah, you should have said that first.
I imagine a future where we have Treasure Hunter gone, and you're playing RuneScape, and you get, you know, the odd drop of oddments when you're killing your abyssal demons or something. Or you can go pick up a bond on the GE and buy a pack of oddments. Or you can go pay $5 and buy a pack of oddments on the store, that kind of thing. And then you can use that to determine what exactly you're going to get, whether it be a cosmetic that's available for the promo, or it be some kind of XP booster or a lamp in the oddments store, that kind of thing. That's what I personally envision the future of this as.
See, and that's where I thought we were going before this live stream, but they just sent so many mixed messages. Like, and I think that's where it is going. I think that's where it should go. But they did not communicate.
And we're gonna go over that in the how it could have been done better section next. Now that we're talking about, you know, recapping the stream bullet points and what went wrong. They also talked about community and communication and scheduling, in particular the regular promotion schedule over the last 3 to 4 months without actual game content. 2020 is going to have a definite roadmap, and we'll pull items from the survey, and they want to do as much as they can to prevent that from happening again. Now, this is another Mod Mick question here. In terms of pushing or continuing the promotion schedule when players aren't necessarily happy, is the company going to be more reactive? Mod Mick says in the past, the company has knee-jerk reacted to things in terms of pop-ups that you get regarding promos. They should be targeted at players who will get the most benefit from them, and they should be targeted better in the future to not nag players. And see, here's the thing. By saying knee-jerk reaction, keep in mind they're talking to, let's be honest, the people who are going to be watching this live stream most intently, aside from us, is the Reddit community. Mm-hmm. And by saying knee-jerk reaction, that is minimizing their feelings on this, which we have long said there is a silent majority out there. And I suspect that the data backs that up, why he said in the past there was a knee-jerk reaction. But it's all in the delivery in this, so that shouldn't have been
said. I really don't even understand what he's talking about when he says knee-jerk reaction. They've never done anything because of microtransactions. Because
I think they got to be talking about could they be talking about the pullback on expansions?
I mean, maybe, but what did that have to do with the with microtransactions?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I think
I don't know what he was talking about there. They've never pulled back from MTX.
Because I think before addressing, or rather becoming head of the live ops team, Mick was in charge, was a senior producer or something to that effect.
Hmm. Well, probably should do that again.
Yeah. So
this didn't go well.
All right. Then they had their next boom moment. There needs to be a strategy that is more cohesive and supporting each other as a team. And the theme will ultimately be reinforcing what each team is doing. This is something that will happen in 2020. This is a Mod Warden move. Any plans to give regular reports on issues pertaining to monetization? JD completely wants this. Mod Mix says it's a very fair comment. A lot of the reason it happens is because the team hasn't been given the support it needs to drive the innovation. It's not that they want to avoid it. The vision or strategy that hasn't existed to make it happen, it's going to be much more possible with Mod Warden's strategy. And I think this is where Mod Warden said in terms of producing, he needs to, you know, be looking at various budgets and things and whatnot to that effect from the business side. And he said, we're coming out of an era where there was internal leadership stability challenges, and it took a number of months for him to show up on side. A lot of team members have gone through a number of management changes, and they did their best to get it into a good spot for Mod Warden to start from, but having that consistent person at the top who isn't going to run on to the next thing is important. I laughed when I heard this.
Well, see, this was another one. I don't even think they should have fielded this question, because there's no way. The only way they could have answered this was to say that, as we said before, we want MTX to make sense and be a part of the game. Yeah. Because when people hear that, well, we need more resources.
Or we're having internal leadership stability challenges.
Right. On top of all these mods leaving. But more importantly, you're talking about making the MTX team bigger. That's all people are hearing. They're hearing, oh, you need to make it bigger. Oh, and you said that the MTX money goes to development, but now you're wanting that development to go to the MTX team. So you are trying to milk us. It was
and
bad.
And people are, throughout this are forgetting that, the live ops team, which does MTX, also does community events, like the 2-week community events. They do the holiday events and whatnot as well. So,
and that I find confusing, because I would have thought that was episodic.
No, because it doesn't stay in game permanently, so it's not episodic.
Okay.
Yeah. Question about game integrity, about balancing nerfs and promotion that load up the XP at the same time.
Dude, they were. Oh my god! I'm sorry.
It's about a lot of bad syncing up between teams. That's what the answer was.
They acted like this came out of left field. Like, are you serious? You haven't thought about this? You haven't thought about the optics? Like, are you kidding me? And furthermore, not even that. Not even, I'm sorry, no, we should do better. Just, that sucks. Sorry, guys. Whatever. Well, thanks. I'm glad to know all my concerns have been validated, and you did nothing.
And you hit the nail on the head. For people who were already skeptical, this live stream just validates their concerns entirely.
Yes.
For us to watch the entire thing, you see what we saw, but it took a while to get there, and you saw the direction we were headed.
Yeah, well, and I mean, they would come to a decent point eventually on most questions, not all of them.
But you could start at that decent point.
Because what you started with was what he just told me right there is, yes, I was right about you're putting in Treasure Hunter. You're slowing the game down so that I will be encouraged to buy more. That you just basically said that and then said, well, but hey, this is bad timing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Now, this could either go really good or really badly. Mod Warden wants to get his bosses on the couch and introduce them.
Mod Warden needs to get a little bit more familiar with everybody.
He needs to hire a press secretary.
No, see, this is the thing. I think Mod Warden on the couch by himself would have been a million times better. He had too much confidence in the people that he put in those jobs to do the job. He believed they could do it. He's thinking, well, RuneScape does live streams for like every week for the last however many years. We never did that shit at any of the other places I worked at. So these guys should be fine. Well, they weren't fine. So I don't think I'd be dragging my bosses out there either. But unless you're going to have to restructure the whole live stream. Like, I feel like he had way more confidence than he should have.
He knows what he wants to do. He knows the direction he wants it to go. It's just a question of conveying that in a good way,
Yeah, I think he could have, though. Like, when he was talking, things made sense. You know, because he was talking about it, like, in terms of product, in terms of, okay, but remember how, the progression of how gaming went. There used to be a box product, and now it's this, and now it's this. Like, I thought he did a decent job at explaining things. But every time he turned around, Mick was underperforming and undercutting.
Yeah.
The main idea. Like that question right there, Shane, that is a perfect example, because it validates what people were thinking.
Yeah, and in terms of validating, you know, there was a question about people worrying that XP or bonus XP would just be sold outright in packs if it was sold, rather than for something like oddments. And they said if this happens, it will be carried out in small tests. No.
And what? When see, no, here's the thing. Don't this say is how that. Dumb. But this is how dumb. Okay, why would people? Number one, I don't know if you're. I don't want to like. I don't want to spoil anything here, but hey, dumbass, if you're buying direct XP, you're doing it through oddments. Sorry, did I? Is that breaking news, Shane?
No, I mean you and I see that.
That's like. I don't even get like entertaining that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's a natural progression with chance-based stuff going away.
Yeah, that's look. I know the ideal. I know what everyone wants is a world without any microtransactions. But
that ship
we've
sailed.
Got to be reasonable in some ways. There is going to be some of it. At least we could get rid of the most predatory parts of it. We could get rid of the worst aspects of microtransactions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Mod Warden also says he wants more seasonal events. They fall under the live ops team, plan them in advance and build content around them, which is, you know, coming from Overwatch, that's what Overwatch does.
And Fortnite, that was exactly what I thought when he said that.
Yeah, can we expect RuneScape to be around for 5 years? Yes. I mean, after the quicker...
Yes,
dying
but
quicker
did you hear what he said? He said it would take a little longer than that to kill it. Like something to that effect. Yeah. Like it would take longer. I'm like, I just wanted to see, you remember those like hook things from the old cartoons? Yeah. I just wanted to see one of those come out from the side and pull him off the couch.
Mod Mick, you mean?
Yes.
The planning.
Yeah, I mean, JD was fine. He was just,
yeah,
over his
JD
head.
Was doing his scared. Job.
Yeah.
A planning lens in the past has been on quarters. Now they're looking at 6 and 12 month views, and the plan will be to start looking at 2021 soon. And Mod Warden's 5-year vision right now is for players to be able to rekindle their love with RuneScape. And then he went into this whole discussion about how RuneScape is multi-generational, how people who started with 7 or 8 are now young adults, and there's also an older generation now too with their own kids.
And, dude, you wouldn't believe what an older generation there is.
Yeah, I know. And then Mod Warden wants to see the game that supports this. Then a big one. Why should we trust anything that Jagex says? What says this time it's going to be different? And, you know, this is where the live stream culminates. And it is really unfortunate that this had to come at the end. You know, this, in fact, could have been a very good question to open up with. Because he said action, action, action. And that's what it comes down to. Because when you have a skeptical player base, the only way you're going to be able to convince them is A, by meeting their sentiments and moving forward with that and delivering.
Yeah. No, and I think he was on the right track. Like the same week we found out about him, he releases this message, this letter, open letter to all of us. It had everything that we know is a problem in there. And he tried 2 different routes in experimentation the same week.
The cat and the augments.
Yes, and then turned around and said, I'm not scared of a Q&A stream. Yeah, why shouldn't we go and, you know.
And ask yourself.
Obviously, not knowing what.
Ask yourself, getting the executive producer of a game company on a couch doing a live Q&A unprepared. What other game company would do that? This, on its own, I think, showcases transparency.
Yeah.
And it allows the plan to get out there and highlight it, except the plan, I think, since this seemed to be the central focus of it, action, 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 could have been perhaps brought out a bit sooner.
I just have to bring some of that good old American work ethic over there. Get shit going. I'm just saying.
He said, you know, taking feedback and doing better on all fronts. There's industry expertise out there that we can lean on to see how things could work moving forward.
Yes. And not 3 years after the fad has ended. Chronic cold. Sorry, I had a chronic something in my throat.
Mod Mick says in the past, you know, and he went back to his knee-jerk responses or without saying things without thinking them through. And he said, hopefully this is the first time this level of transparency has been brought forward and we can deliver on these things to show that they're real. Mod Warden says that we'll do it again soon.
Yeah.
And I just think this time, that if they started with this at the end, it would have been an entirely different perspective.
You could have just taken out the whole first 30 minutes. It didn't accomplish anything. It did not go towards their goals. It did not reassure anyone. You could have cut it completely off, put this question in the beginning, start the stream that way, and it would have been
Or they could have worked the questions in and used them as talking points.
Brief
the people before they came on the couch.
Yes. And that, I think what they were told is, we want you to be transparent. Mod Mick's like, okay, I'll be transparent. So he's like free-flowing, transparently, not thinking at all of the way it sounds to players that are pissed.
Yeah, so from that regard, I don't think there was any negative intent from these guys.
Oh, no, not at all, but it's like
we are being hard on this live stream because, you know,
it needs to be hard on this live stream.
It was a train wreck the way it came across.
Yeah, like.
But the fact they're doing this and the fact they want the focus to be on the future, I think, says something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it needs to be. We're going to talk about what we got right in all of this, but first I want to walk everybody here through a bit of a alternate reality of a way this live stream could have went. And I think this is going to be an interesting look, so we're going to do that right now. So first and foremost, we start the live stream, and I imagined myself being there in this case. And you start off the live stream, and you have Mod Warden on the couch. And, you know, I don't know if Mod Mick would have even had to be there for this. Maybe he could have provided supplementary answers on this with the appropriate talking points provided. But you start off by talking about background. What is microtransactions in RuneScape? Treasure Hunter, Solomon's General Store, Oddments, and more. And you talk about the reality that RuneScape 3 is 50-50 MTX between that and subscriptions. And the goal of this live stream, and this was the key point that should have been stated earlier, the goal of the live stream is to outline the future and how the revenue model of RuneScape is going to change and be transparent with all of the players out there and show that we're committed to delivering on this. And the focus going forward will be action, action, action to implement these changes. So that's the background. You take 5 minutes to do that or so. Then you can talk about how you're going to avoid missing content with roadmaps, you know, and you can throw in that quote about the entire company doing a rubbish job to convey the roadmaps. Talk about communication with the players needing to happen in particular because RuneScape is unique in that they have revealed so much more than other game studios. And the question is it the right things that we're revealing? And you see what I've done here is I've taken it from a question about should we be talking about things that are going to be revealed to are the right things being revealed?
Mm-hmm.
Next, talk needs to focus around what's in development and less on specific release dates. Mod Warden hit that point. This means focusing on content that will come out that was at RuneFest, which I think everybody definitely wants to see because it's just so important in that regard. And then, you know, when there's a change, communicating that it needs to happen. And it can come from the department heads of Mod Warden, Mod Osborne, Mod Hypnos, or Mod Mick if it's live stream. Or live ops, rather. And this talks about where the content is going in the future and how you're going to prevent the gulf of communications that happen. Problem two, you talk about the future of Treasure Hunter and the fact that Treasure Hunter relies on RNG currently, which many countries are looking at outlawing, and they currently are waiting to hear back from Parliament on potential changes, and they were the only company to actually go to the Parliament in the UK and testify. In terms of moving away from that RNG, there's a way of delivering content without the loot crate. Mod Warden obviously feels that the RNG element needs to take on a different shape given that the industry is evolving, and playing RuneScape should not be a negative experience, and RNG should not be a negative driver with Treasure Hunter. Oddments are one of these experiments that came into game last week that can diversify Treasure Hunter. Oddments on their own could be made easier to obtain, maybe done with bonds or through in-game activities, with the focus being shifted away gradually from Treasure Hunter promos, and this comes to increasing value for players. Boom. So you see what I've done here. Boom, 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 boom. Next, value for players. Acknowledge it's a subscription-based service where everyone from free-to-play to members to premier should feel like they're getting a good deal, which he mentioned, but it was 20-odd minutes in. For the past few months in Anachronia, the value hasn't been there, and this would be a case or an opportunity to match the sentiment of the community and say that, yeah, we get that, and there's too much focus on microtransactions and we're not communicating effectively. And then this pivots into the point where the MTX strategy should feel as though it's a part of the game and not something that's simply put on top.
Now, I've noticed you haven't put in there anywhere where you deflect and say all the other studios are worse.
You should ultimately have a reason to play the game, and that's not just new quests and new content, but things that bring players into the game. Jagex wants to be focused on generosity, so how can content like the elite skilling outfits be put into game without a microtransaction model? We need to be more transparent on that. It's not quite right as it is now. There's lots of caveats, and players aren't clear on how it worked. It's too confusing. Transparency. Mod Warden sees Jagex talking to players more about the design of content and drop rates when it comes to Treasure Hunter, as it's already done on mobile. There's no reason to not do it elsewhere. And, you know, transparency is king. And that's what the emphasis of corporate values ought to be. And this would have been a perfect opportunity to bring them forward, which all of these things, by the way, I'm mentioning, were talked about in this live stream. They were just sprinkled in throughout.
Mm-hmm.
The loyalty in Aura Store, we talked about that. The goal is to make certain auras available, and it, you know, they could be sold for premium currency like bonds. And if a fit is found in game, bring them into game. Rare item store as well. So it's all about increasing the value for players. It's not about deflecting what other companies are doing or looking at different ways of saying this is good, but it's about taking the point we're at and increasing the value.
Yes.
And, you know, there is a question. This next section could have been paraphrased as why not now? I am from Alberta, which is a province in Western Canada, and the province has only changed government a handful of times since it's been created in 1905. Governments often serve for 40-plus years, and there's been a lot of talk in the past about catalysts for change, and when they happen, you need to be right in front of them, and that's something that can happen with Treasure Hunter, and that's the key word. Now. Why not now, right? And this comes back to action, action, action with Mod Warden in particular to capitalize on this. He mentioned that changes have been in development since before he arrived, but there is the need to have a guaranteed revenue model to bring the money in, and Treasure Hunter can't just be turned off or shifted away from without knowing a new system will work. And, you know, he says new systems in the industry are built on data or ideas, then tested in a limited fashion, then run again and made bigger if successful, and changes start out small. RunePass last year wasn't talked about properly, and it wasn't the intent with it wasn't communicated well, and the value was too low, and Treasure Hunter was carried through while the RunePass test was running, and this definitely should have been communicated better as a way of trying to pivot away from Treasure Hunter.
We kept trying to tell people that, too.
Yeah.
And we kept saying it over and over.
And then the glass breaks with this next one where he says, next week at the very end of the stream, expect a dev blog on the new Premiere Pass system with a test to run later this month. Then you could say with that, this combined with the cat promo and Oddman's changes are tests that we're running to diversify away from Treasure Hunter. The recent cat promo did really well. And from the data, the players are behind this. So as to your question, why not now? Why not just turn it off? This is why we're making changes to go in that direction. Here's why we can't do it, but we are progressing in that direction.
So, well, and it is now. Look at what we're doing right now.
Totally. And then you can end the talk by talking about the future and that, you know, most players who buy Treasure Hunter keys are after progression because they value their time more than money, which you know because of the community you're involved with. Oddman's store with lamps and stars can be seen as a way for people to get exactly what they want. And if Oddman's became more prevalent, people could just go in and buy exactly what they want. You could wait it so stars are more prevalent than lamps. And something that Jagex would like to happen internally is a unified currency shop or currency exchange, a rework of Oddman's loyalty points and rune coins. And we'll start looking into awarding small amounts of rune coins in-game once the currency system is cleaned up. And finally, the player avatar reigns supreme in RuneScape, and Mod Warden would like something to happen around this. And lo and behold, there's your outline for the future. And you'll note that most of the questions that were asked in the QA are answered here. It's just answered in a different format.
Yeah, it's not in the direct way, but that's all in the curation and organization of the questions to begin with. It's like someone didn't send around their points, you know, like their talking points or whatever. And I guess they didn't want to. They were really trying to be transparent. Look. Yeah, but I honestly,
like I prepare for the show.
Of doing that.
Like I prepare for the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're as organic as we can be.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we're the best of both, really. Because we use it as a jumping off
point. Just doesn't
it
sound so much better the way it was phrased here than the live stream?
We're not having the same discussion if it goes this way. We're not having this discussion.
Exactly.
This week.
We're having
this
a discussion.
Week we're, talking about
we're not having a discussion about turning Treasure Hunter off or removing microtransactions. We're having a discussion about an alternate form of microtransactions.
Yeah.
Because
we're talking about what we know is in the works and what could be.
Because you meet the community in that they don't like the current offering, and then you take them with you and you run with them.
Yeah.
To this alternate future.
Yep. I agree, Shane. Yeah, this was. They needed. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Mod JD or anything, but he did need to have a little bit firmer hand on. I don't know. You ever been like, well, I mean, I guess you do it all the time, but like when you're like in a meeting or whatever, if you're the person running the meeting, you know, you got to reel people in and you got to keep stay on track and stuff like that. And there wasn't any of that going on. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any structuring like that, you know. This approach just would have been, I mean, the best thing we can say is we would have been having a different discussion.
Yep.
Which is exactly what we should have been.
Yeah, that should have been the whole point of this live stream.
Yeah, we should have been
talking
about.
And then you could have sprinkled in some of the other.
Look at what we're doing.
You could have then sprinkled in some of the other questions at the end as well and, you know, answered them effectively with that,
but,
too.
But, you know, really, in all seriousness, the other questions aren't really that damn important when you cover all of these. This is what people wanted to know.
Yeah.
People wanted to know about the microtransactions. Now, you can ask any, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of other questions that, in my opinion, could have been in any other Q&A. This one is about microtransactions. This one is about the future. This one is why we make the decisions that we have made in the past and why we're making new ones in the future.
Yeah.
And that should have been it.
Yep. So what did we get right?
Everything. We're awesome.
Well, I mean, we predicted the oddments was a shift. We predicted the cat was a shift.
Uh-huh.
We predicted that Rune Pass would come back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else?
You didn't predict, but you had suggested numerous times that Premier Club should have more and if there was ever another Rune Pass, it should be part of it.
Yep.
So I count that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's
and,
good.
And you know what? We were also right about give this guy a chance because going to take him time. You saw what he was dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
You saw.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I actually had a look at the Reddit after this and it wasn't pretty.
Oh, no, I'm sure it wasn't. I mean, I didn't look at it because I was like, I'm just over it. I'm just over it. And I feel like at least there's someone here is trying. And he's trying, and he's realistic.
And
that's
I think
what
my silent majority idea is still true as well.
I hope so. Look, there's one thing that I'm a firm believer in, and that is if a person or company tells you who they are and what they're doing, you should believe them.
And that goes where what we can talk about next, and that's the future of microtransactions in RuneScape, because you have an idea of where it's going to go. So let's hear about that.
You're talking about the other end of things?
Yeah.
The other part of the community?
Yeah, with the cosmetics and how this is a way of life.
Yeah, I think this is much more of a game changer than just microtransactions. I think Mod Warden has came in to... Yes, restructure microtransactions, but restructure
the monetization model.
Yes, it's the whole model. If you noticed, one thing that he kept saying more than once was that, you know, we could charge more for subscriptions, but we think it's better to keep it at a reasonable lower price in order for more people to be able to play and then let those who could afford to pay more through microtransactions. As, you know, a bleeding heart socialist, that appealed to me very much. And it made me think maybe he's going to significantly make free-to-play better.
We definitely see that with archaeology going to level 20.
Yes. Well, I know. But I think there's going to be more than just that. I think your avatar is going to be something.
Yes, and that's what he said right at the end.
Hugely. And think about it, because like I don't have as much experience with Overwatch, but I know in Fortnite, I mean, that's the whole thing.
Overwatch
is
exactly
the
same.
Over and over and over and over.
It's all about the skins.
Right. So I wouldn't be surprised to see skins come in or this or that. We'll see more with pets. We're going to see a lot more of this stuff. But RuneScape, as it existed, is not going to be the same.
I'd say even as it existed prior to the big launches. So prior to 2018, that RuneScape's gone.
Yes. This is what...
Like, player-owned farm, deep-sea fishing,
yes.
Clear Scroll rework, The Needle Skips, Desperate Times, Anachronia, 120 Farming, 120 Herb Lore. That's the caliber of updates we're looking at with some kind of new monetization strategy, I think.
I think so, and I think that those are going to be much more... They're going to be packaged in a similar way to what the expansions were supposed to be.
Yes.
I'm telling you that's going to happen. And I think this is... If he is able to do what I think he wants to do, what we are going to see is a RuneScape that is very much in the vein of an Overwatch or a Fortnite, but with that MMO aspect to it.
And that's like, really appealing to me.
This is going to be an MMO, but it's going to be an MMO that is very similar to those other games, those more modern games. They have a more
like
modern
if you want to look setting. Like whatever you want yes. in Fortnite, you can do it.
And you know what? Fashionscape has always been an underlying kind of big thing here, and it's been a fun thing. And that's what you do when I maxed, man. I had a party and there was a fashion show, you know, later. I mean, that's what we did.
We're actually
know?
Having a we actually had a Halloween costume contest at Clan Quest.
Oh, see, that's awesome. Like, that's
and
part
we're
of
having
the fun.
A Quest NPC contest for our birthday.
See, and I think that's great. And that's where you're going to get your social kind of interaction when it comes to this game. And you got to look at what has been done with those other games. It's the exact same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. So how do you make that fun for the like 10,042nd time? You know what I mean? And they were able to do that. So you should be able to do that with an MMO much easier. There's a lot more content to play with here.
Yep.
So, but here's where I want to caution people. I know a lot of our listeners are you know, they've been down with RuneScape from day one. I mean, veterans. And so, you know, hear me now. The game is changing. It's not going to die, but what you knew is if you don't want to be a part of that change, that is okay. You can go to old school. Yes, you will suffer a little bit in the graphics, but we loved it once. You'll probably love it more because it is more in line with what you wish RS3 was like. I mean, and that's just the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's harsh in saying that.
I just want people to be happy where they get in. If you're not happy in RuneScape 3 with the way things are going, you might be a lot happier in old school. And if you're not happy here and, you know, everything ends up being negative, that spreads. And, you know, we don't want that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want people that are on this side of the game to be happy about this side of the game. And I want people that are on the other side of the game, I want them to be happy about that side
of
the game.
And I don't like having a constant negative aura hanging over this podcast. And, you know, this is one of the things where our key vision is in 2020 is that this show is going to be a positive role model and that we're not going to slag anyone in the community for what they do. You know, you play old school, you play RuneScape 3, good. You're doing what you want.
Oh, yeah, in that regard. And, I was going to say, Shane, I will call a dumbass a dumbass.
Right.
I mean, I can't.
But at the same time, when it comes to it and when we need to, like we had with this live stream today, when it causes harm, we're going to talk about that too. But at the same time, we're going to be doing it in a way that reinforces the strategy of a positive role model in that we're going to talk about it in the way that you would want everybody to talk about it.
Right, because at the end of the day, I feel like there is enough space between old school and RS3 that there is a place for you no matter what you like. It may not be what you want to do, but it might be the best decision you ever made. I mean, like, you might not want to go to old school, but try it. You might like it even better. Don't be stubborn. And for those who love RS3 the way it is, stay, enjoy, because it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Spend some mods. It's going to get a lot better.
Spend some mods.
Yeah, spend the money on the stuff that you believe in.
Yeah.
Like, if there is a promo that you think is the right direction, that's where you spend your money.
Like,
I know that's a cardinal sin.
I dumped some oddments on the new Cinder cores.
There you go. And those will be great if you have bonus experience. If you're not using bonus experience, pulse cores are still the way to go.
Yeah.
But if you got bonus cinders, ooh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
So I also just want to say one thing on this divide between OS and us here.
Mm-hmm.
So there was also a thing that was said in this live stream, and I couldn't quote verbatim what was in the live stream because, you know, I wrote that document that was 2,600 words long, a 2,600 word summary. Good luck finding that anywhere else on the internet, folks.
Yeah, no, that was full.
But it was said that, you know, money from RuneScape 3 monetization goes into Jagex general revenues. So with that microtransactions on RS3 are indirectly funding old school and the future of old school.
Yeah, who wouldn't have known
that? I mean, it's a common sense thing to know if you know how businesses work, right?
Yeah, it's old school RuneScape. It's not some other company by a different name with a different game.
Yeah.
It's old school.
And same thing RuneScape. Goes. The success of mobile and the money that mobile earns on old school goes into general revenues, helps RS3. So right. It's a very helpful relationship for them both. And, you know, I'm not the person to lead this movement. But if somebody wanted to, put pressure on Jagex to act, and when I say put pressure, I don't mean constantly hounding them. I mean,
because that doesn't work. We know
it,
that
it doesn't work. But if you want to provide a good enough pressure and be a good opposition to the way microtransactions are going in game, think of it like a union group that organizes to push against a government. Or a political action committee in the U.S. Bring your old school peers into this. There's more of them than play than people on RuneScape 3. So oh, yeah. I'm not the person to lead this movement. But if there's somebody listening to this for whom microtransactions is a huge issue and you want to do something about it, rally your old school RuneScape peers to help you. Because they're going to be as much against RuneScape or be as much against microtransactions as you are, if not probably more. And there's more of them than you.
Yeah.
So I'm not the person to lead this movement, but if somebody wanted to put pressure on Jagex regarding microtransactions, that's how you do it. And that's how you be successful.
Well, and I mean, I agree with that. And I also feel like if they see movement towards old school,
and if they see the old school people speaking out about RS3 microtransactions, that would say a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you have these things happening, then that becomes something that you can't ignore. Like it's
precisely.
I hate to tell you guys, but it's really easy to ignore a forum post.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you just keep scrolling. It's not that, you know what I mean? Like, I know you think it's the end all be all, but it ain't.
Same with Reddit posts. Despite the fact they get upvoted, yeah. Doesn't mean someone needs to read it.
No, they won't. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have an impact.
Yeah.
What has impact is movement of players and money.
Yep.
You got to look at it like politics, almost, in a way. Like,
exactly, and that's mobilize. The lens I'm applying to it here as well. And I'm quite surprised that nobody has done that. Like, why is there not a website or a Facebook group set up to go out against this? Granted, yeah, you could say, oh, but the RS subreddit is against it. Yes, that's the loud minority on there, but there's a silent majority there. I'm becoming slowly convinced of that, who can see reason from time to time.
I think people just want to play sometimes, and they don't have, you know, they just want to play. It's like right now, there's this fatigue in America where people are just like, I just want it to go back the way it was. I don't even care anymore who runs anything. I want to go back to not caring. Like, I want to go back to not knowing who the leader of the Senate is. Can I do that? That'd be great.
Yeah.
And I think that's where RuneScape players are right now. Like, they're just very frustrated, and they don't want to worry about this stuff anymore.
And like they said, at the end of the day, action, action, action.
Action, yep. That's on our part, too.
Yep. Yep. All right. That went better than I thought.
Well, I mean, I knew we'd do a fine job, but
yeah.
We're kind of better at it than they are.
Okay. Notes for the week. Patch notes for the week. Let's get back to actual game updates.
There we go.
Livid Farm produce points now show correctly in the currency pouch. Okay. We definitely need that. Implemented a fix to help ease frame rate drops if the buff bar incorrectly displays. And oh boy, this is a big one.
Yeah,
so much so that there's actually a news post and a beta test on this today because that patch note didn't work as properly expected. So if there is indeed people out there who are having problems with this, there's been a beta that was set up here. So you can go try it out and see if it's been fixed, or you can use the buff bar fix channel in the RuneScape Discord. So we'll handle that one now. I personally haven't had any issues with this, but I know it's a very big issue for combat.
Yeah, I don't do enough precise combat to worry about it. I look at my buff bar and it basically shows my prayer and my potion, and I don't switch, you know, so I mean, I'm just counting on down.
Yeah. Swapping overrides from Felix will now correctly clear body parts. Of course, Felix the cat is the treasure hunter promo.
Cool.
Fixed an issue that showed the claim Felix screen multiple times during the catwalk promo. This no longer occurs. Here's one of my favorites. Certain music tracks beginning with the now appear in their proper places within the music player.
Oh, that's good.
Rather than being in the tease, they'd be in
count.
The, yeah. It's an edge case for sorting like that, especially if it's called, if a track is called the something. Added text detailing damage done in Big Game Hunter. I've been doing Big Game Hunter this week, and oddly, I can't see it, so I'm not sure where it is.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's because I have my thing filtered or whatnot. I don't know. But I guess you would just need to turn off your filtered chat to see that. I'll try that later. Implemented a Fletch 3 option Big Game Hunter to create spears more efficiently. Yes. Yes. Because you always need those out. And, I mean, it's better than just modifying the Make X to choose 3. Just right-click, choose 3. If you only have one color of spear, and click on a trap, the Make X screen will no longer appear. So if you only have blue spears, it will only appear once when you do this. Good.
Okay.
Bladed Dive can be used on frogs, and it will instantly start to gather poison from them. That's interesting. I don't have Bladed Dive, so this isn't something I've never done, but it makes sense. I mean, if you're charging across the map and you don't want to click, you might as well just have that be the starting point.
Yeah, and I was under the impression that it was pretty important for Big Game Hunter.
Bladed Dive?
Yeah.
Oh, I get by with just Surge.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I get by with Double Surge on mobile. Yeah, mobile perk. There's now confirmation that will inform you of the logs, vines, spears that you will lose after you skin the dinosaur and leave. That's good, because it is an instance area. Having a helmet on the helmet stand on Anachronia now grants extra Slayer XP as intended. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's the only part of the base camp I haven't been able to get, because I haven't done any Slayer there.
Yeah, that's going to take me a long time, too.
Got everything else, though. While using the small furnace in the Tyrus camp, players are now approaching the furnace from the correct side, in front of the opening instead of the wrong side. Gotta love the attention to detail with this.
Yeah.
You will no longer receive compacted resources when you're at the Anachronia base camp resource cap. That's interesting, because I did receive some compacted hides this week, and I thought I was, and I'm fairly certain I was at the cap, and this was a Big Game Hunter, so I might have to look into that, or maybe I was just clicking wrong, but I'll double check this and report it as a bug if it's not the case. When activating an enchanted gem to contact Turiel or Spyra, he or she will now state that he or she is in Berthorpe, not Taverly. Added a mini-map, world map icon to the Kebbet Hunter area west of Berthorpe. Then a bunch of text changes and typos that have been fixed. Expanded the area, which is considered the lobby of the dual arena, for the purposes of the easy clue scroll that's there. Yes,
that's
nice. Beautiful. Players will no longer be able to access the Edgeville Furnace by using items with the furnace on a free-to-play world. That's a big one. Because that furnace is one of the most efficient ones, and it's actually members
only
thing.
The one I always used when I was little.
Yeah.
when I was little. Jesus. Well, I was just a little 1,000 total level. Smith my cannonballs in Edgeville.
Oh, okay. Attempting to use item on the sink in the Keldegrim Warhammer shop opened up a dialogue where the NPC's name was displayed as Dwarf _ City _ Shop Warhammer rather than Vigor.
Yeah, that's obscure.
Yeah, definitely. Fix an issue causing Wilderness Slayer buffs to be granted outside of the Wilderness. The original Slayer helmet now correctly gives the any accuracy bonus to melee rather than hybrid, because it was hybrid at one point, but it was changed to any. That makes sense, and I had trouble wondering what that was when I first read the patch notes, but it makes a lot of sense now, because back in the day, that Slayer helmet used to be a hybrid. Now it's an any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lessen the harshness of the Warped Terror Board and Tortoise. And tortoises in the Poison Waste Dungeon, as well as tone down the chime sound a little. Huh. Interesting. That's a mid-level Slayer creature. I don't know. They weren't that hard.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're mid-level.
Oh, okay. Well, it's only mid-level because you got to do some hard quests to get to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I never thought of them as that hard, but okay. The option to destroy an entire skilling set after destroying a single piece has been added to the artisan's outfit, the blacksmith's outfit, the botanist, the sous chef, and the constructor's outfit.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Added messaging for attempting to revive dead herbs that were planted before the miraculous treatment invention device existed. These herbs cannot be revived and must be discarded.
Who still has those in there?
I have no idea. That was a long time ago. I guess someone who just came back.
I guess.
It's no longer possible to obtain duplicate Thinker outfit pieces from the Motherlode Maw. And here is a beautiful one. All elf-style outfits should now be able to be placed inside the fancy dress box in the POH.
Oh, thank goodness. Yay.
Those things take up too much space.
Oh, dude. And they just keep coming. I throw them down. They get back.
That's excellent. Updated the message when playing for more than 4 hours in the chat box we talked about last week. And allowed players to escape from legacy mode during the Berthorpe tutorial. Interesting.
Okay.
So, we're going to have an interesting discussion on this next piece of news here about double XP weekend. As we're getting a double XP weekend starting on November 22nd, except it is not a conventional double XP weekend. What's happening is you're going to be offered 36 hours of double XP that you'll be able to use over the course of 10 days. And the idea behind this...
Well, just everything you said there, what part of that had anything to do with the weekend?
Well, the first 3 days do, and then it's extended, because that's what it's called, double XP weekend extended.
The first 3 days.
Is the weekend, and then it's extended for 7 more.
Now, I'm not real good at math, but I'm pretty sure 3 days would have been 72 hours, right?
Yeah, and this came up in the live. This came up in the live stream, and they said that fewer than 1% of people on double XP weekends play for 36 hours.
So,
or more.
Does that mean we shouldn't be able to? Like, no.
And for what it's worth, they did say that they would look at increasing this for next time.
This isn't a double XP weekend.
No, it's
not. In any way.
It's a double XP period.
Yes. That I agree with.
And it says, this means you're absolutely free to stop for meals, hang out with friends, pet the dog, do karate, get some sleep, and even go outside, all without missing out on XP. And, you know, the posts I see on social media, Reddit, Discords, people gear up for these double XP weekends, and they produce their meals the week before. They go on energy drinks, and they're worried when they have to step away to make food for an hour or so. So they just prepare before and then microwave it. And to me, this doesn't seem healthy. It doesn't seem healthy.
Well, look, Shane, there's probably things that you do I would think probably unhealthy. I mean, I know there's stuff that I do that you wouldn't think was healthy. I mean, I don't. We don't want Jagex telling us what is healthy and how we what our gaming should be.
Right, like that, but at the same time, no. Companies, and this is something Maud Warden has been saying, is to look into duty of care. And if you're putting double XP weekend over 72 hours, it encourages people to stay in for that entire weekend.
Yeah. Okay. And?
But there should be an option, I feel, for a company to be responsible and set
has nothing to do with
good
that.
And set good set a good moral example on this.
Well, Amazon's open 24 hours a day. I can tell my little girl right here to order me something. It'll be here tomorrow at any time of night. I can do it 4:15 in the morning. She'd give me the same answer she would at 12 o'clock at night. So here's the thing: the extension. People like that. It adds a flexibility, and it caters to the casual player.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all for that. But what you've, but there's two things that happened here that I think are important, and they can't be just glanced over and overlooked and act like it doesn't matter, because they absolutely do matter. Number one, you didn't even get 48 hours, which would have at least been a U.S. weekend.
I would say increase it to 48 hours, to be honest.
That would have been better. And the things that you're describing there as bad things, to me, that's a special time. Like, this isn't every weekend. This is like one or two weekends a year. And it's special. It's a ritual. You talk to your friends about what your meals you're going to be making at time, or what drinks you got. You know, hey, you got monsters? Ah, no, I'm going with Death Wish coffee, bud. Oh, hell yeah, you know. And it's part of this culture that has built up around Double XP Weekend that I think we will miss when it's gone, because on that weekend when you log in, everyone is there with you. We are all doing this together. We're experiencing this awesome thing together. I am not sure that's going to translate now. And yes, it may give you flexibility in real life, but this isn't giving you any game flexibility whatsoever. So you're not going to be wanting to check your ports or doing this or doing that. When you're in game, you better be focused on your double XP, because it will be ticking down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, I really think, and number one, I don't know if it's because I'm older or not. I mean, I wouldn't think so, but you know what? If I'm hungry, I go get something to eat. If I'm tired, I go lay down. I don't see what's so hard about that. What do you mean someone has to tell me? Now, if that was my kid, my job. If she was up till 2 in the morning, I'd be like, get your ass to bed. What the hell are you thinking? Like, that's my job. That's not their job. So, I don't know. What you got for me, Shane? That's where I'm at on it.
I think it comes down to the company being a good moral citizen and putting the option out there that they want the player base to be as healthy as they can be. It comes down to morals for me. That's what it comes down to.
But Shane, companies don't have morals.
I think they do.
No. Their moral is make as much money as can.
Well, then why do they donate to charity all the time?
Well, do you want both answers?
I know both answers.
Okay.
I'm pointing out that there is good to be had from donating to charity, and there's in multiple ways, and there's good to be had from double XP weekends, both in terms of how it can be and was in the past and what we have here right now. The point is that if you're in game, yeah, granted, you might feel like you're wasting time. What if there's like something like a grace period added, you know? To the point where, say, time didn't tick down until Saturday.
If you could turn it on and off, that would be nice.
Okay. Now we're talking.
That would be on.
Now we're talking.
And also, don't get me wrong. Like, I see this as the direction of the future, even though I love Double XP Weekends the way they are and the way they always mm-hmm. have been. I think as part of the changes, I think this will be another one of the changes. I see this coming. I wish we had known that and had given us one last traditional Double XP. And with that, the 48 hours, I think, is a bare minimum. Because if you give me 48 hours, I can go along with my friends or whatever, and we can be like, hey, let's do it this weekend. You know, we're going to be playing. You guys playing? Oh, yeah, we're playing. All right, well, we'll do it this weekend. You know what I mean? Like, and you can still have that same kind of feeling. You know, people are all like, oh, now I don't have to neglect my family as much. If you were neglecting your family for this, then that says more about you than the damn game. Come on.
Like, yeah, and I agree. I totally agree on that point.
So, I mean, I think there's things that could have been done that would have made this a lot better. I think this is the future of where we're headed. And I'm not like, and the idea of itself isn't what I'm bothered by. It's the fact that it's not a weekend and they didn't even give us a chance to like say goodbye. I know it sounds goofy, but seriously, like, my whole gameplay revolves around those weekends. Like, 90% of my time is building and saving materials so that I can...
at least you can use your magic beans this time.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's just... You know, when something becomes such an integral part of how you're playing, like, I would have liked to at least been able to do that, you know, one last time. Now, I mean, I'll be done with this within 3 days. And don't get me wrong, look, I don't think I've probably ever played more than 36 hours in a weekend, but I should be able to if I want to. Like, it's available. It should be available. You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to give us the European weekend, but at least give us the U.S. weekend.
Yeah. All right. So I think from that we can move on to the next thing, which was a surprise to us today in terms of the future of the technology stack that governs the game. The Java client is dying at the end of the year.
RIP. RIP Java.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that they said is that, you know, hey, the mobile work is slowing down at this point because most of the work is done. iOS will be the focus of next year, but most of the grunt work is done on this so they can start focusing in on what's next, and in particular with the core experience side of the game. And quite frankly, the client hasn't evolved as quick as they would want after NXT came out. So it's time to close down the Java client, probably by the end of 2019.
Good, and that's going to help them push NXT?
Yeah, and the technological changes that can come with it. In particular, the first of what's coming next is the smoother player movement feature that we saw at RuneFest.
Yeah, I mean, it's a start.
It is a start.
That's a start.
And they say there will be significant upgrades in 2020 with continuing expansion and improvements to the versions of NXT on all platforms. And the reason they've kept Java around is because everybody right now who's playing on Java has tried NXT at least once, but went back to Java either because of some technical problem or maybe some problem with their computer, which has likely gotten better since they initially tried it. And right now the Java client is currently used by fewer than 4% of RuneScape players.
Well, it has to go. We've been saying it for a long time. I mean, yes, it's the end of an era, but it has to go.
Yeah.
It's gotta go.
And I mean, they got it right now to the point of view where once you install the RuneScape launcher, you can still launch it from the web and it will open the client.
Okay, well, I feel like it's like we're dragging this dead weight around with us.
Yeah.
Like, we can't actually...
Like, you remember when Machani was showing off the Maud Shawnee, bless his heart, the live stream stuff for Anachronia with the new features that we didn't have yet. That's probably because maintaining Java, why we couldn't get those ones. Like the, I forget what the video term was called, the one that blurs out, depth of field. Depth of field.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That. So, this needs to happen, and, you know, RuneScape is going to look better and better as we go because of this.
Yeah. So. I was glad to see this. I mean, just another one of those changes that should have happened a long, long time ago.
And this goes to what you're saying in the monetization section about the future of RuneScape.
Mm-hmm.
So, and talking about the future, we do have the November month ahead, which was Maud Shawnee's last behind-the-scenes video that he did for them. And, you know, it's good they gave this one to him, even though it was after he left. It came out on the Friday. So, obviously, this month, the main update is farming and Herblore to 120. It has been confirmed that this will drop after the double XP weekend. So, we'll be hearing more about that as we progress through the month. There's also the Game Pets competition that's happening. And they're also going to be adding something called the Stormguard Archaeology Journal, which will feature one of the newly discovered sites, the Stormguard Citadel. And this is a floating fortress that was once home to top secret Aviancy labs during the God Wars. So the question is, what forgotten technology might lie buried beneath its halls? And there's a link you can go to at this one, and it will show archaeology and what the future holds. So, you know, this World Out of Time thing was, I guess, supposed to be a timeline that started with the Needle Skips, Desperate Times, Land Out of Time, and then archaeology. But it's taking a little bit slower to go through this. But, you know, nonetheless, I think the Stormguard Citadel is going to be our first dive into this, and is going to be a way to get players hooked in to archaeology before it arrives in January.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be nice. A little taster, maybe.
Yeah, and then we have December after that, and you know December's going to be all Christmas themed. So.
Yeah, I was so, I mean, I was glad that Maud Shawnee broke the news to me, because when I heard him say double XP with a twist, I knew I wasn't going to like it. I knew right then, I was like, this ain't going to be good. But at least he's the one who told me. And then I found out Monday, I'm like, oh. Okay, I get what you're saying. A twist.
All right. That's it for the RS news this week. I think we can move on to questions now. And
I think we can move on to bed. Jesus. That was rough. It's been a rough week, man.
Well, I appreciate everyone being here. And, you know, with this, I'd just like to say thank you to our Patreon supporters this month, first of the month. So more people, as we do. You sign up for $3 plan, you get a shout out at the start of the month. But I'm getting ahead of myself. First off, I'd like to thank Brock H., Cameron, Cass, Christian S., Darren L., Diana, Jason S., Kyle, Logan H., Rippeth, Sam W., The Naked Captain, Tom V., Zachary K., and Zez. Thank you all of you to your support for making RSBNB Update what it is and allowing us to do what we do. We just got off of a recording session with Sirion, recording our monthly bit on game development. That's going to be a fun one to hear. I think
that was a pretty awesome bit.
Yeah,
I even got a cool game out of it.
Yeah, hey?
Hey.
So, if you want to hear that, it'll be out it'll be out by the time you guys are hearing the show, but you'll find it at patreon.com/RSBNB, and that's patreon.com/RSBANDB. For $1 a month, you get access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, including special mention in our show notes, and you help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you get a shout-out every week and exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year in addition to everything else. So the monthly bit on game development is coming. It'll be out by the time you guys are hearing this. Inside RSPB update this month will be a live stream focused on, of course, 120 farming and 120 Herblore, which I'll be doing a Patreon exclusive live stream on that. My first look at the new content is going to be fun. And of course, the roundtable this month will happen on Double XP weekend. We figured we'd do it on Double XP weekend just since there's going to be more people around. And that's a fun time to talk about anything and everything RuneScape related, right?
Oh, yeah.
And finally, should we reach that mythical $99 a month tier, it'll be movie night in the RSBNB Discord with the both of us, where we'll probably be watching some Star Trek along the way. So, patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you, everybody, for your support. It means the world to us.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So we have a question this week from Judgment Scarred on Twitter, who writes, many people hate microtransactions for its pay-to-win mentality. They feel like it's not fair that they worked for their skills, while others just bought their skills with XP boosts. Would permanently marking accounts that have purchased microtransactions in this matter make a difference? By marking, I mean some kind of in-game badge on their name that lets players know they have purchased MTX.
No. And
I don't think it's... I think that would put an unnecessary negative stigma on the community.
Well, there already is. There already is the stigma. So yeah,
and it would amplify.
Here's the thing.
You don't want to be amplifying it to individual players.
Well, Jagex wouldn't do that because it could have an effect on how much people are bought. If you wore it around, people would be less inclined to engage a treasure hunter. That's just a fact.
There's an eerie historical thing that this reminds me of.
The steroids in baseball? Because last I checked, there isn't any asterisk next to Barry Bonds' name or any of that. Like, that's what it reminded me of, kind of.
But I don't think this is the answer.
At some point, I think RXP has to be RXP. It's got to be ours. We own it. And it's about how it makes us feel. There's a lot of things that you can show progression or challenges. There are other things that we can do in game that I think could show off how badass you are. I don't think they can do that with this. I think that this is something that has the value that you put in it. So if you're able to do it with time, that's great. That's wonderful. That's the way the game always was. But a lot of people that grew up playing it, just like Mod Warden said, and they might have started when they're 7. Well, they're in their 20s by now. They don't have that kind of time. But they might have a little bit of disposable income that they can make up for that a little bit. I don't fault people for that. I personally wish it was all bonus. I would rather, I would like to see lamps go away. But I don't fault the player that this is their hobby, but they don't have a ton of time to play it. So, I don't want to disenfranchise those people. I mean, I do. I understand where you're coming from. Because if you think about it, and you think that someone just lamped the whole way, that sucks. But at the same time, I know that I didn't. So it doesn't take anything away from my XP whatsoever.
Yeah. There's two things I want to say with this. Prestige mode.
Yes.
A way of tracking XP that would be able to be tracked without bonus XP. And I think Jagex did some kind of – what did they do? They did something with agility not too long ago where they just tracked base agility XP.
It was the Clan Cup.
The Clan
remember?
Cup, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are ways to do that. So I think that would be a solution to this, having prestige mode or forget even calling it just prestige mode. I'd be willing to back up at this point and just call it pets that track skill XP,
Yeah, call it whatever the hell you want.
Like,
just get rid of the 200.
have a pet that you can add that tracks your XP. And if you get a skill pet, it'll do that too.
I know what it is. Check it out. It starts off with a little 6-inch ruler, right? And every bill you add to your XP gives you a couple more inches on that ruler. Eh? Guess where the ruler's at?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's going to be a codpiece. Eh? Eh? All right? Good idea.
And, I mean, that would be one way of doing it. Yeah, I'm looking away right now. I'm looking away right now. But yeah, I mean, a pet that would do that would be great. The other thing is, the exact thing that Judgment Scarred here has outlined exists in game except in reverse. You know what it's called?
Iron Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but for anybody right now who wants this kind of tracking, it's Iron Man mode. I don't know how hard it would be to do a pet like that or some kind of tracking that would just track base XP that you could show off, but I think that would be really good, and it would solve a lot of problems we're having today. Hell, it would make me go for 200 mil farming XP.
There you go. Yeah, something to that effect. I'm a big advocate of getting rid of that cap in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know that it's technically possible to do it, so that's why I always come back to the pet strategy. So,
right.
And reverse marking with Iron Man mode. So thank you, Judgment Guards, for that question. And unfortunately, we don't think it would be a good thing to do. We think there's probably different ways that we could go about doing that. So. All right, if you guys want to send your own questions in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com or post them on Twitter in the form of a direct message or a reply to us. You can also post them on the forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask, and links to all of these will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. All right, so tech news this week. Facebook is rebranding.
Facebook is rebranding.
Yeah. Facebook is rebranding from its single application, the Facebook F. 15 years later, they now have their suite of products, you know, Instagram, WhatsApp, and whatnot. And their new brand has been designed for typography, focusing on capitalization and creating a distinct look between all the different brands. There's blue for Facebook, red, orange, rainbow for Instagram, and green for WhatsApp, and all their main services, including Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, WhatsApp, Oculus, Workplace, Portal, and Calibra, will all use this new branding on it at some point. So if you sign in on Instagram, at the bottom it says Instagram from Facebook, but at the bottom you'll see from Facebook to it. So this is a shift, I think, in terms of saying, hey, we're kind of diversifying to the point where there's different divisions within the company. They each do their own thing under the parent company of Facebook. And, you know, I think what this gives them license to do ultimately is move away from Facebook as being the central product and say, right now, Facebook is, for instance, your address book, and use that to connect with Messenger to talk to people. Instagram is your picture sharer. WhatsApp is another chat device that is supposedly secure, that kind of thing.
Is this their way of, like, don't look here?
Yep. Combat.
Facebook doesn't own all of these things. Yep. They're actually different.
Yeah.
We're not a monopoly.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
This is one step away from pulling an Alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for anyone unaware, Google created the company Alphabet, which would look over different companies like Google, Nest, YouTube. I forget the self-driving car company name, but they're all under that Alphabet umbrella. So this is what Facebook is doing, and I'd say they're probably one step away if the pressure were to intensify. Say, if regulators say, hey, let's break Facebook up, they'll say, oh no, we can't do that. You have Facebook, the core company. But on the other hand, oh, you have Messenger. Oh, you have the Facebook book, address book kind of thing. Oh, you have Instagram. They're all separate and they compete with each other kind of thing. That's what I think this is for. And I don't know that users will notice much on this at the end of the day. And I think the bigger question is, does Facebook gain any public goodwill from this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think people will pay any attention whatsoever.
Yeah.
But they're trying to – what they're trying to do is give the politicians enough cover that they can go on to not caring about them and letting them get their donations. And they can say, but look, hey, they're totally different. You know, that's how it's done here.
Yeah, and you can see that with the different logos as yes. well, and it would be more apparent if they changed or created a company other than Facebook as its core branding. So,
yeah, I just feel like they need to get an old Microsoft treatment, you know, because last time I checked, they're still around. So breaking them up wasn't like the end all be all. It didn't destroy it, you know. Well, I believe we did that before, right, Shane?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did. Mm-hmm. All right. Next piece of tech news. Uber has announced their earnings for Q3 of 2019, and the company has lost almost $1 billion this quarter. Do you remember the days when a company couldn't exist if it was losing money?
Oh, that's it. That's the past, Shane. That's before hedge funds and venture capitalists.
So 68 cents per share, 81 cents was expected. Revenue was expected to be $3.7 billion, but it was $3.8 billion, but the costs were higher. And, you know, as a result of this, $1 billion lost, and they're going to be cutting in their job side. Whether or not that's in the driver's aspect, which, you know, I know based on what people have said that Uber drivers really don't get paid that well. Cutting on the tech side as well is not something you want to do if you want to spur growth. So I think Uber's got some turbulent or rather bumpy roads ahead with this. So with this, they also raised guidance for its full 2019 year, saying it expects adjusted net revenue to accelerate in the fourth quarter, which is marketing speak for saying, yeah, we expect things to get better. And with this, they now say that they expect a loss of $2.8 to $2.9 billion for the entire year. And the only time this company has been profitable since 2017 was Q1 of 2018, where they made somehow more than $3 billion in profit. But they've been under-profited ever since then, hemorrhaging money.
And that when they got caught selling people's like information on how, their movements?
It might have been. And, you know, I just think that – I've been saying this for a long time. We're in a phase in the tech market where all this money is floating around. You have winners and losers. But if you're involved in a company that's taking huge losses like this, you can just expect to get hit because the core elements of the technology industry that keep everything healthy, you know, the IBMs, the Microsofts, the Apples, the Googles of the world, those guys are healthy and doing fine. But it's on the lower end where these ones, you can kind of see some sand shifting. And it's going to be lots of big questions about what happens on the innovation side going forward. And recall, Uber was the first company that brought in the ride-sharing scheme. So, all right. Last piece of tech news. We got a story focusing on space, in particular SpaceX's new Starship that has a cost of just $2 million per mission. $900,000 of that is fuel per launch. And when you split this across the 100-passenger ship, spaceflight becomes affordable, you'd be looking at around a $2,000 to $4,000 trip to space.
You signing up, Shane?
Probably not for that much, unless there's somewhere to go, because chances are this would just be a ride into low orbit and back.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, this is all, of course, due to Elon Musk. With this, he said that he does zero market research whatsoever, and instead he tries to create the platonic idea of a rocket or car. But, of course, he, of course, does do market research and interest, because he wouldn't be successful if he didn't, right? So,
sure.
But, you know, he then talked about things like his Tesla pickup truck. But nonetheless, I think we need to underscore that this is one of the turning points in civilian space flight, because it wasn't too long ago that, you know, NASA missions, not even to the moon, but just low orbit missions, costed millions and millions of dollars, much more than this. Whereas if you can make this mission work for $2 million, then you're talking. And then if you apply this to the space industry as well, then you can really start developing space. And I think
that's the problem. Like right now, it would just be a ride, right? Like,
yeah,
we can get there. We can do this. The costs are low, but then what? Like, we exactly. don't have nowhere to go. Right. We don't have nothing
so
to do.
If you can make this a system, you could potentially have trips to the moon once a moon base gets built or a larger space station. And you can then apply this technology to building those space stations and building the moon base. So this isn't, you know, it might seem as though
Holy
this is
shit,
just
hotel and resort, man.
Right. So this looks like just a joyride right now. But this is laying the groundwork for the way the next 20 to 30 years of local space flight around the Moon-Earth system is going to look, for both the private citizens who want to go and, of course, the countries that want to build up there. So
that'd be so expensive, but it'd be so cool. Could you imagine going on a vacation for like a week just staring at the Earth? That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to solve some problems, get everyone into space. Once they realize we're on the little ass marble in the dark, a lot of our differences wouldn't be such a big deal then, would they?
I hope it works that way.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let's do our achievements of the week. We got 8 of them this week.
All right. So let's start off with Siped Debo with 99 Smithing on November 6th. Then we have The Lion with 200 mil mining XP on November 5th. Then we have Data 479 with 99 invention on November the 4th. And our very own Tycho Elf with 120 constitution on November 2nd.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Then we got Sethiroth with 99 Constitution on the 2nd as well. XG Wen YVARX with 99 Herblore on the 2nd. The Lion also got 200 million summoning XP on November 1st. And Crying Wolf got 99 Slayer on October 31st, Halloween.
Nice.
All
nice
right.
Achievement, everyone.
So you got a pick of the week where we were just talking about space. Now we're going back out west.
I do have a pick, partner. Oh, Red Dead Redemption 2 has came to the PC. I have been waiting for this game for over a year. Nothing was really said until about, it wasn't even a month ago, it was like 3 weeks ago that we found out that it was coming. And I wasn't sure that it was coming. Like, I was worried that it wasn't ever going to come. Like, for a while, I was like, I'm not going to buy any more games until Red Dead comes out, because it's really the only one I want. And then I thought it wasn't coming out, so I bought games again. So, this week, I got Red Dead Redemption 2 for the PC. I absolutely love it. Like, it's kind of rare for us to, like, be really super hyped about a game that's actually been out for a year and we know is good. So that was nice. But man, it's so good. It's so good. It's like playing a Western, and it's just fun. And it has an awesome, like, honor system. So, like, you can be a honorable outlaw, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you might have to do things in the storyline, but you're really a good guy, you know? Or you can just be the nastiest outlaw in the West, you know? I mean, just kicking people's begging pots away from them and everything. I mean, there's a Rockstar game. You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful. So, I mean, that's a really cool system. Like, if, you know, there's certain outfits that you can only get if you're, like, a really honorable outlaw, and there's certain ones you can only get if you're, like, a really, really bad dude. And, I'm not super far into the game yet because it's massive. I mean, this is probably the biggest game I've ever played. But, man, I love it. And just the attention to detail is unreal. Like, it's so unreal. Like, if you walk up to a horse and it's got its ears back, it's going to kick you. Like, if you walk up to your horse will, his ears will always, like, just be standing up because he's cool. He knows you. And you kind of have to, like, get to know the horse. You kind of got to bond with the horse, you know, so that it knows you. And then it won't be skittish. Like, there's so much to it, man. Now, obviously, this is kind of a shooter, so... I use a shotgun everywhere I go.
Of course you would. Because you can't miss, you know. Right?
Well, you know, I find a way to do it, but it's a lot better with the shotgun. Yeah, I so highly, highly recommend it. I mean, even the online is its own, like, story. So, like, I haven't even gotten to a point yet where I've been turned loose online, where we could, like, seriously, Shane, if you get this game, man, we can get a posse. We can go robbing trains and stagecoaches. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to do that? But even if you don't, like, say you're more into, like, you know, being a nice guy, you can do missions for people and a lot of hunting and fishing, like a lot of hunting, a lot of fishing, crafting,
So it's effectively so well an done. Open world Western.
Yeah.
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 Okay. I just love it. I can't say enough good about it. I knew I would. I got it, and I was not disappointed. And this was one of the, like, very few times that I bought an enhanced edition. Like, I got the ultimate edition. Right. I never do that. It was totally worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and you know, from it the sounds totally of it, it's good. A game that you want to you know, throw your full support behind, because, you know,
yes,
we live in an era where you can buy a video game and you can buy a video game on sale for $20 or cheaper, right? But being AAA mm-hmm. game titles, you want to sink a good amount into it from time to time, and this is probably one of those. And those are increasingly rare, I find, as time goes on. So,
yeah, this was just super well done. I don't want to, like, reduce it to this, because it's so much richer than this when it comes to the story elements. But I mean, one way is, like, it really is kind of a GTA in the old West. Like, you can do anything, but there's so much story to it. Like, don't let that make you think like there's not a lot of story, because there is. It's just packed with so much different
right.
story elements. But, you know, hey, you want to walk into the gun store and rob it, yeah, you're cool, go ahead. You know, I mean you can just do that kind of stuff. It's really cool. I can't wait till we're done, because I want to play.
Okay. It says recommended specs, 12 gigs of RAM.
It's big, dude. It's big. I think the download's like 110 gigs.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, because yeah. It says you need 150 on the hard drive once it's expanded. But minimum memory 8 gigs, so everybody keep that in mind. I think most people have 8 gigs in this day and age. So.
Yeah, I would hope so. It is higher on the specs, but when you see it, you'll know why. I mean, movies don't look this good, man.
Nice.
It's like the sun coming over the horizon, and the way it makes, like, little, like, little beams of light.
The God rays, volumetric lighting. Yeah.
Yes, and like you can like when you're walking through heavy snow, you know, your snow prints are. It's just, it's so like the attention to detail is unsurpassed. I've never seen anything that was as good as what it is.
Nice. All right. What have we been up to this week? I mean, I feel like it's a foolish thing to ask, but we might as well, right?
Yeah. I haven't played a lot of RuneScape this week.
I imagine you're on Red Dead.
Mostly, yes. Okay. Now, I do AFK sometimes when I'm doing my work during the day. So, despite not loving the way the XP weekend is shaping, I'm still collecting my charms because I'm sure that I will probably do some summoning. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. That's what everybody should be doing on double XP weekends, revamped double XP weekends. For me, I've been working towards, just lots of herb farming because, you know, I don't know how much XP I'm going to do when that arrives because I definitely don't want to get 200 mil, but I'll definitely give both of those a try. But I've actually just been doing Big Game Hunter the entire week trying to get dinosaurs for that. I haven't got any yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, they seem to be stupid rare. So I might have to extend that out to when Big Game Hunter arrives. So.
Yeah, get your bank ready. Shit.
Yeah. But, you know, herbs are still good. Very good on the XP. Oh, yes. I must also forget to mustn't forget to remind everybody about my new friend in the wilderness. I completed the task he gave me of getting another attuned crystal teleport seed. So I did that this week, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said last week, I'm not mad. Just took it and ran with it. Putting together some – I need to get with David, put together an action bar, and then I'm going to go hunting.
Yes. Yes.
So that'll be good fun when that happens. But all in all, aside from that, not too much on RS. Of course, preparing the show and bit for you guys this week. So hopefully this was enjoyable to you. And once again, if you want to join us in game, you can find us at Friends Chat, Bits Bytes. You can also subscribe to the podcast on any podcast listener out there, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Google Play, YouTube, anything under the sun at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update.
See ya.